Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue with the help of the Lord in exploring Christ's ministry to us as taught in the book of Hebrews. And I want to make the statement now that the book of Hebrews does not contain all of the ministry of Christ to his own. It's in the other parts of the scriptures as well. But in the book of Hebrews, we have all these titles. Last broadcast, we considered Christ as our captain and deliverer. Really, those are titles. And today we wish to consider, with the help of the Lord, our apostle and high priest. And those are titles, and you will notice as we continue in this study that these are titles, and they describe Christ's ministry to us through the scriptures. And today we're going to be reading in the third and fourth chapters of Hebrews, and if you have your Bibles near at hand, you may want to follow us. We read in verse 1 of the third chapter of Hebrews, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, the word "wherefore" is an arresting word. Where you have the word "wherefore" and "therefore" in the Bible, you want to be sure that you know what it's there for. Now, when they say "wherefore" in verse 1 of chapter 3, they're referring back to chapter 2, where we have considered Christ as our captain and as our deliverer. Now, he's very closely allied to this in the position of the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Now, notice, please, "wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Consider, weigh well, examine the apostle, and it's capital A. As a matter of fact, this is the only place in the scriptures that the word apostle is capitalized in this verse of scripture. The apostle and high priest, and they're both capitalized, of our profession, Christ Jesus, because they are titles. And oh, what a wonderful ministry we find in him as to his apostleship and to his high priesthood as regards to the church. Now, in the matter of the fact that he is our apostle, what does the word apostle mean? Literally, it means one sent forth. Now, the 12 disciples were sent forth by the Lord in John chapter 20 and 21, and that makes them the 12 apostles. And certainly, that's not hard to grasp. We read there in John chapter 20 and 21, "Then said Jesus to them again," this is when he revealed himself to them in the upper chamber after his resurrection. He says, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So that made them apostles. They were sent out by the Lord. Now, we can go on. The Lord was sent forth to save us from the penalty of our sins as an apostle. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, these wonderful words. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." As an apostle, Christ was sent forth for the particular purpose of dying on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. Oh, what a wonderful apostle he is. And we also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 there, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What a wonderful, wonderful work. We have to just consider the ninth verse of the second chapter of Hebrews in that apostleship, in that mission that he had. The Father sent him to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here it is. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Now, think of this, if you will, please. Christ died on the cross for every man. There is no excuse for anybody going to that terrible place called hell or the lake of fire. Provision has been made for him. God made provision. There will be no accusations against God at the great white throne, because the people will realize then that they just did not accept Christ as their apostle, the one sent to die for their sins. They'll have nobody to blame but themselves. Now, he carries on a wonderful ministry as our great high priest. And then we read now the fact that in the same second chapter of Hebrews, that he suffered two times. He suffered in a double way. He suffered vicariously, that is, as our substitute. He suffered vicariously for our sins, but he suffered sympathetically as our great high priest. Now, we read down in the lower verses of the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 17, "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Now, one set of the Christ's sufferings, and we read in verse 9 that he suffered death for us. Those sufferings were vicarious. He had to die on the cross for our sins. Now, when Christ went through this life, he suffered down here below for the specific purpose of furnishing you and me with an example and giving us confidence that he knows what we are going through with. We'll notice that particularly when we get into the fourth chapter, when we see Christ there as our high priest. Now, we perhaps will turn to chapter 4, verse 14 right now. Read through verse 14 to 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," isn't that majestic language, a great high priest, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now this begins to couple up with the last verses of the second chapter. He suffered these things sympathetically, that he might have our confidence that he knows all that we're going through. Then in verse 16, that is brought out so wonderfully well. Let's read verse 15 again. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, Christ's sufferings as our apostle saved us from the penalty of sin, but Christ's sufferings as our great high priest saves us from the power of sin in the Christian life. Now, this is very important. He has two sufferings recorded in chapter 2. One to save us from the penalty of our sins, one to save us from the power of our sins. How do we get this salvation? Well, he prays for us. In John chapter 17, our Lord Jesus Christ is seen as our great high priest. We read in verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Now, farther down in the chapter, verse 11, "Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, in prayer for you and for me." He saves us from the power of sin in the Christian life through his prayers as our great high priest. He prays for us. He says, "I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept them. Those thou hast gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, that was Judas Iscariot. And now I come to thee in prayer, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." You see, is his ministry as our high priest. "I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them. because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. That is his ministry as our great high priest, to save us from the power of sin in the Christian life. Now, he saves us from the power of persecution, too. We read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I believe it is. Here it is. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, you see, he indeed strengthens us both to go through, to escape the sufferings of the various vicissitudes of life, but he promises grace and mercy. Now, I think that there's something I like very much. The mercy of God takes away that which we could never take away. Grace supplies that which we could never supply. Notice, please, that 16th verse of the 4th chapter of Hebrews. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, that's available for us. And then he saves us by his presence. We have the Great Commission, and we're, the Lord tells his disciples in that Great Commission in Matthew 18 to 20, he climaxes it, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, even to the end of the age. Our Lord Jesus Christ saves us by his prayers, his power, and his presence. And he tries us, as we've already mentioned, he gives us mercy and he gives us grace to go through this life. Now, Christ's sufferings in Hebrews 2 are twofold, as we've already brought up, vicarious, and his death for our sins, sympathetically, to make us understand he knows what we're going through. Certainly, he suffered in chapter 2, verse 9, as our captain. Now, you see that it's connected with the apostleship of the Lord. And then he suffers sympathetically as our high priest. And that, indeed, saves us from the power of sin in the Christian life. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord knows all about us, and he's got the answer for our every problem, and he wants us to come into his presence. Come boldly. Come seeking for the grace that sustains and the grace that helps us live for him. May God help us to realize these things. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, open up our hearts to the gracious ministry of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.